point is, the end result is the same.
Duty calls.
I have searched the world over before you.
That is so cool.
You guys all just have this really tight bond.
Just call me the computer whisperer.
He seemed so nice and warm.
You don't want to come back to my place?
That smell makes me nauseous.
I thought it was going to be a slow night.
It's fucking fantastic.
I love that sound.
Can we go now?
Welcome, everybody, again to Beer with Buffy. I'm Josh.
I'm Rex.
Today on Beer with Buffy, we're going to be reviewing Season 6, Episode 2, Bargaining, Part 2. It's a two-parter, and yeah, that's what we're going to do. I said it! Well, Rex has a thing. I believe it is regarding the all of the union strikes going on in Hollywood with the actors and the writers and whatnot. So I'm going to push this over to him.
So at the time of this recording, both the Writers Guild of America and the Screen Actors Guild are on strike over issues of working conditions, compensation and wages, better health care, and clearer guidelines around the use of AI. As neither of us are members of the striking group and just independent content creators reviewing a show that's more than 20 years old, the situation will not affect the production of this podcast in any noticeable manner. That being said, both Josh and I stand with the unions. These studios have made it their business to exploit hardworking people, and none of us consumers should stand for such treatment. Beer with Buffy and Ale with Angel is about discussing and celebrating the work that these individuals put into our entertainment, so we stand with the workers for their rights and fair wages and better treatment. If you'd like to know more about the strikes, show your support, or even get involved yourself, you can do so at WGA.org or SAG-AFTRA-Strike.org to get more information.
Yeah, I completely agree with all of that.
Pay your fucking workers.
Yes, but, you know, but fucking seriously.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Pay your fucking workers.
So it's fucking... Oh, my God. I don't even want to get into it.
Yeah.
Makes me angry. How much they completely fuck those people.
Yeah.
Just as much as anybody working in the service industry, but, you know, that pisses me off, too.
Yes, it does. Like,
so much just absolute horse shit going on. Completely fucking the working class. Like, completely fucking the working class. It's not fucking okay.
Exactly.
When are we going to fucking do something about it, guys?
Right now.
Yeah.
Shit's happening.
Good.
Guess what time it is?
Is it time to fucking doodle-do, Rex?
Indeed it is.
Please do. Old do.
Our executive producers, Bridgen McCloy, Dead Serious, Callista, Allie B, Nathan Lancey, Kristen Dulcinea, Rachel Gregory, Rachel Doodle Doo, D. Sheringhausen, Club E. Seal, Mr. Tabalicious, Sandra Craig, Jay Sommer, Christina, Catherine Parkinson, Karen Moon, Chris V-Man, Pat Likes Turtles, Scarlett Choi, Bad at Changing Their Name Heaps, K-Fro Horse Dildo with a BWB logo gnome. I actually managed to not trip over that too much. Go me.
I love that that's still your name.
Father DeFinistrato, Kelly MC, Jesse Rain, Alex from the Heart, and Carrie Phillips. Thank you so much. Without you, this show literally is not possible.
Oh, literally.
Man, that list is long.
Yeah, you're looking a little pale.
Yeah.
I'm dripping in a little over there. Smells a little like BO.
Yeah, it happens.
I'm not going to lie.
It happens.
Yeah. I gotta put up a fly strip. Get all the fucking flies out of here. They're just coming straight out of your ass.
Ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
Time for a mom synopsis.
Joshua! What are you doing, Joshua? Not doing necromancy. Like, at all. Joshua! That sounds like you're doing necromancy. Did you borrow a cup of necromancy from the neighbors? No. Yes. Oh, Joshua. Who did you bring back? You're not going to like it. Of course I'm not going to like it. You're fucking around with the black arts, Joshua. Not sure when you became the voice of reason around here, but... All right. Well, see for yourself. Joshua. What are you doing, Joshua? Just a bit of necromancy, pop pop. You're welcome. Fucking hell, of course you're still into all that sparkly pretty boy Euro trash vampire death cult shit. Wait, I'm into death cults? Aren't you a Christian? What's your point? Jesus died for our sins without us even asking him to. All we have to do is eat bread and drink wine that literally turns into his flesh and blood once a week. And then when we die after giving them 10% of our income for our entire life and promise to be good people, we get rewarded when we die. Oh, shit, I'm in a death cult. That's okay, Daddy. You're back. And now you and Mom can be together again. Oh, Keanu, is this hell? Joshua, did you drag us all to hell with you for a stupid TV rewatch podcast? What? No, of course. This isn't hell. I don't think. Let me check. Wait, so if you brought me back to life, doesn't that make you my new father and effectively making me my own grandpa? Why? That is such an astute observation, Father. Thank you for asking. And the answer is yes. That's it. You're grounded again. You can't ground me. I'm your father. You're not my real dad. Oh, God, Mom, did you just kill him again? Well, he's certainly unconscious, Joshua. We'll just have to wait and see, won't we? Great. Okay. So today on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, all the Scoobies are running for their lives from the Hellions. Dawn and Spike decide to make a run for it as the Hellions start to take over the neighborhood. Anya and Tara make it back to the magic box first. Then Tara uses a spell to lead Xander and Willow back from the woods. After they all agree the resurrection spell didn't work and Buffy's never coming back, they all agree to head out and search for Dawn and Spike. Buffy, however, has just crawled out of her grave and is suffering a bit of shock from the whole experience. She finds the Scoobies as they search for Dawn in an alleyway and helps them defeat the Hellions as they try to help her accept the reality of being alive and home again. Buffy runs off, and Dawn finds her at the tower where she died. They narrowly escape falling to their deaths when the tower collapses, and Buffy thinks she's in hell, but Dawn couldn't be happier to have Buffy back. The end.
Ladies, gentlemen, spiny-headed looking creatures.
As soon as the sun goes down, vampire. As soon as the sun goes down, vampire. Competition is a beautiful thing. Ooh, dear.
We open in a graveyard.
Yes. Graveyard where Buffy Bot's being tormented by the Hellion gang.
Yep. We pick up exactly where we left off from the last episode.
We cut to Willow, Xander, Anya, and Tara meeting up briefly where they discuss a little bit about what's going on. They feel like they should be fine in the woods, but, you know.
Yeah, they make a quick plan on fucking off, but instead of, you know, fucking off like a bunch of unorganized clowns, they fuck off like organized clowns.
Yes.
And Xander carries an unconscious Willow and tells Tara and Anya to run back to the magic box. And then we get a quick shot inside Buffy's grave where she starts to panic and tries to tear her way out of being buried alive. You know, everyone's...
So fucking terrifying.
Yeah, everyone's worst fucking nightmare. You know, she very nearly just came back to life and then died again from suffocation. Wouldn't that have been a bitch?
Right.
Hope she would have at least gone right back to heaven, you know?
Yeah. Hope so.
I mean, or wherever she was, I don't know. No spoilers on this 20-year-old TV show. There's still other podcasts out there that are trying to do spoiler-free runs, and I'm like, how? What can you even talk about? Yeah. You just sit there and talk about your bowl of cereal that you had that morning or are currently eating just so that you have some content on the microphone? Crunch, crunch, crunch.
Which they probably do slightly shorter episodes than we do.
I imagine. I think everyone does.
I fucking hope so.
Everyone does slightly shorter episodes than we do. You know, and I want your opinion on that. Give us a call at 269-743-0783. Are our episodes too long? Because I swear to God, I cut them down quite a bit.
Yeah. We try to keep them short. We do.
Yeah.
It's hard. There's just surprisingly a lot of content to talk about, even when there's not really a lot of content to talk about.
I mean, it's mostly just Rex breathing heavy, but yeah, also content. See, I'm not cutting that. People need to know.
Also, I just noticed your t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome.
I love it. Teddy Rick!
Yeah. So I was going to be more active with my other podcast about Rick and Morty while we were off the air, and then that didn't happen. And now, yeah. Of course, Alex wants to record Wubble Up a Pod Pod again now that we're back on the air. I'm like, sure. I don't need time. What's time for?
Anyway, we cut back to Xander and Willow in the woods. Willow's woken up and they kind of discuss the situation. He breaks the news that the Urn of Osiris has been destroyed.
Defiled.
And, he tries to cheer up by saying that, hey, they can just, tape it together, use some crazy glue. It'd be fine.
Yeah, just a little bit of scotch tape. Said no one ever. Scotch tape is what they give.
We can't use scotch tape and crazy glue what they give on a kids. Priceless artifact.
It's what they give kids so that they can't kill each other. Well, maybe that's safety scissors, but still. It's what we put on gifts so that you can open them.
Right.
But they kind of stay shut for a day.
But yeah, this is the moment where it kind of truly sinks in to Willow that Buffy is, in fact, dead.
Yeah.
Because she's pretty fucking heartbroken right now.
Mm-hmm. Get a couple more moments like that where people's willful denial starts to get a little bit kerfuckled.
Yeah, a little bit kerfuckled.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut back to Buffy, who starts clawing herself out of her grave in earnest.
Mm-hmm.
She's through the like cloth covering and the wood of the casket.
And this time she manages to punch a hole in the top. And I cannot stop thinking about Kill Bill.
Right.
Just like, oh, damn, you should have trained with the single, you stick your fingers out and you only get that much distance to punch. But, Buffy didn't need to do that because she's the Slayer.
Right. She has a lot more strength. Well, I mean, she's stronger than a vampire, and vampires can fucking claw themselves out of graves.
Right, yeah.
The only problem is she, unlike a vampire, needs oxygen.
Yeah, the vampires get more time with that.
Yeah.
They could just lay there and think about it for a few days first.
And also, like,
she's got maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, God, that sounds so terrifying.
Yeah.
Especially because, like,
it's not exactly fresh air either. She's been buried for 3 months.
Yeah. It probably stinks.
Oh, yeah, it would.
She can probably in this moment smell her own rotting corpse.
Right, but how does that work since the corpse just got unrotted?
Right, but the off-gassing of the corpse is still in the casket.
Is it, though? I mean, if it can... If Osiris can magically reanimate the corpse, can he restore the oxygen?
Maybe.
Just restore the inside of the
coffin?
She's
obviously not embalmed or anything anymore, so...
Right, and even if she was, I don't think it would have mattered.
Right. But, like, it does make me wonder how much air movement there is in a casket.
I can't imagine much.
Yeah, because especially given that nowadays caskets are entombed in concrete.
Yeah, I don't like that.
No, I don't either.
Why? That doesn't seem necessary. Is it just to prevent grave robbers?
I'm not fully certain why. My best guess, I can understand if, like, say you died by some sort of crime or something. Maybe they want to preserve your body as much as possible in case they have to dig it back up.
Yeah.
But the whole practice our society has on, like, essentially pumping the body full of preservatives is just horrendous to me.
Yeah, it's really not necessary as long as you have the... It's really only necessary if you need to wait, like, over several days to have the funeral. Yeah. And even then, it's like, it's terrible for the environment. Yeah. Your corpse is basically never going to rot at that point.
Yeah, and like, to
there's
me...
There's tons of plasticized corpses out there now.
To me, it's the ultimate hubris of humanity, because it is how we take our bodies completely out of the fucking nature cycle.
Right.
Yeah. Because they don't go back into the system like, you know, we're supposed to.
Yeah.
We're supposed to rot to feed the worms, and then those worms feed the plants and shit like that.
Yeah,
so,
it's circle of life, et cetera, yeah. et cetera. And I first got the idea of how fucked up that is during when I watched the show 6 Feet Under, because he yeah. gets this whole bug up his ass about his wife wanting a natural burial, which was apparently outlawed in whatever state they were living in the show, and he had to, like, fake her cremation so that he could steal her body and bury her in an unmarked grave somewhere.
I've heard good things about that show. I've never actually watched it, though.
It's an excellent show, but it's kind of fucked up in a lot of places.
Anyway, tangent aside.
Yeah. So she starts to swim up through the dirt and cut to...
Like a little mole.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Yep. Like a little mole eating macaroni. Cut to a rock somewhere where Tara pulls Anya down real quick and shushes her when Anya tries to claim that a simple psst would have sufficed. But she needs to just shut the fuck up because there's two hellions right behind them.
Also, can we just take a moment to laugh at the fact that, like, there's two walking up. One of them is complaining to the other one about how they have to look for these stragglers or whatnot. And then the other one responds with, oh, shut up, we're doing what the boss said. And then, like, there's a 10-second pause. As then he's like, you know what, fuck this.
10 seconds is way too much. It's like 1.5 seconds.
Yeah.
And then he's like, on that note, fuck this. Let's right? go loot. It's great. It's really just him flexing on this guy.
Right.
You follow orders, unless I tell you not to follow orders.
Unless they're my orders.
Yeah. And this is the guy that you figured was number two to yeah. Razor. And this kind of supports that theory.
A little bit.
Yeah. Because he's not scared of...
We don't get any other, like, specific things that this character does in the rest of the episode.
Yeah, not really that I can think of. I don't know. They all look the same to me.
It actually is very difficult to tell them apart, honestly. There were a couple of moments in...
There's ways, but I wasn't trying very hard.
Right. There's a couple of moments in a fight scene later that, like, I was really confused about who was who. But anyway, we cut to the streets of town where there's looting in the streets. It's chaos. Mayhem.
Yes. Mayhem. That is correct. Yeah, things are escalating near Dawn and Spike at the house. Dawn sits directly in front of the window, fully exposed to the demons like an idiot. And also, it happens to be the complete opposite of what Spike told her to do. And Spike's looking for weapons, finds only vampire hunting shit, and...
I love when he accidentally touches the cross.
Burns himself on a cross. And then he's...
It's like he forgets he's a vampire sometimes.
Right. Then he's like, oi! Away from the window, because I need to be in the window. They're
at
like
least,
cats fighting over the window.
At least she wasn't looking out the window with a light on right behind her, you know? Sure, she's looking out the window, but the lights, like all the lights aren't on in the house.
I guess, sure. But yeah, they don't notice either of them, luckily. And Spike and Dawn both realize around about the same time that while Spike is explaining that these guys only... show up places that they think are vulnerable, they realize that they must know that the Slayer is gone.
Yeah.
And Spike decides right there and then, it's time to go. And Dawn is scared to go out there, understandably, and wants to wait and see if the others come back. But Spike promises he'll protect her, but they can't wait there for everybody to come back. They are on their own, and they fuck off.
Frankly, it's ludicrous to have these interlocking bodies and not interlock.
Putrefying diseases.
It'll make you blind and insane, but it won't kill you.
Light a bunch of candles and have sex near them.
So far, I like it.
Please remove your clothing now.
back to Buffy's grave real quick. Dramatic hand popping up out of the dirt, followed by the rest of Buffy looking pretty good for having been covered in dirt only a moment before.
Yeah, I mean, and she is a bit disoriented.
Oh, yeah.
And
like the look on her face, she's a great actress, but
oh, yeah.
She looked way too good for having just popped out of her grave.
Yeah.
Not to mention dead, but whatever.
At least her hair is like a frizzy mess the entire rest of the episode.
A bit.
It would have actually greatly annoyed me if, like, in a scene later, her hair was actually, like, not a mess.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, she could have stopped and joined in on the looting and found a hairbrush. Who knows? Yeah, she stands up and looks at her own grave. What a mind fuck.
Right?
And she wanders around the wreckage of Sunnydale on fire. Camera keeps doing this foggy point of view thing. She walks past a few burning cars. A hellion drives by and smashes a bottle on the pavement next to her. But he doesn't seem interested in fucking with her.
No.
Which I find interesting, because later, when they're fucking with the Scooby Gang, they talk about how they wanted a massacre.
Yeah.
I'm like, but they just kind of ignored all of the people that they encountered.
Well, and even in the previous scene when Dawn and Spike were looking out the window, they're basically like, oh, it looks like people are just, you know, wreaking havoc and breaking shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't get any real indication that they're hurting anybody, really.
And in pretty much in a couple of scenes coming up, they watch them break into a house and you hear a woman scream.
Yeah. But you just see them, like, throwing furniture through windows and shit.
Yeah. So presumably they're not hurting anybody, but they plan on hurting people
right.
at some point in time. I don't know.
Maybe they have a kind of a pattern that they have to follow with their rioting and looting, where they have to go in and break and steal things first. Once that's all done, then they can go to step two, that's the murdering part.
Yes. They are very OCD. Chaos biker hell demons. Yes. That makes perfect sense.
Something has to make sense here, right?
We have to do it in the right order, you guys. I'm super anal about this. I'm sorry, but... Wow.
Anyway, we go to...
The Magic Box. Where Anya and Tara arrive. Tara notes that Xander and Willow are not there yet.
Did you realize that there was an exterior door behind the counter there?
Yes. I recall that being used exactly once.
I'd never noticed that there was an exterior door there. I always thought it was like a storage room or something.
Yeah, there was this one time that Giles opens the door and there's a demon standing there and he punches him in the face and like brings him inside. I forget what kind of demon or what episode, but it's a pretty smooth trick that he pulls because, of course, he's Giles.
Right. Because I just always thought the back door was through the training room. But maybe I'm wrong.
There's probably also another back door, but I think this is like the side door.
But yeah, Tara and Anya show up. Anya is greatly relieved that it hasn't been looted yet. Once she realizes that the store hasn't been looted yet, she then proceeds to completely flip her goddamn lid that Xander is still out there and probably dead.
Yeah, you know, not a completely unreasonable line of logic.
No, it's really not. It made me think of that scene in Airplane mm-hmm. when the passenger's like freaking out and then there's a whole line of people to like shake her and slap her and like, get a grip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the second time you've brought that up.
Because it pops into my head all the time during these sorts of scenes where it's just like, you got to shake a person and it's like, calm down.
Damn it, woman, get a hold of yourself. Here, let me try. Calm down. Yeah. I think that was the actual joke in Airplane, if I recall. A whole line of people. I love it. Yeah. So they see that there's hellions still outside pillaging. Anya's panicking over Xander. Tara calms her by saying if something happened, she'd know. And then realizes that if they're lost in the woods, she knows how to find her. To find Willow, anyway.
With yoga?
Because she sits on a table in the meditation cross-legged pose after swooshing all the books off of it with one swoop of the arm, which I really want to do someday.
Right.
Kind of like the same way you really want to kick in a door.
I want to kick in a door a lot more, but I'd like to also clear a table like that.
Yeah.
Specifically, I would love to bust into a room with like a computer or a box or something in my hands and then like clear off someone else's table to set it down.
Yeah, I want to have a really good reason to clear a bunch of shit off of a table really quickly. You know, more likely it's going to be with my roommate's dishes or the coffee table full of garbage someday. I'm just going to come out there with my dinner and be like, there's nowhere to put my plate. Ah, there we go.
I have felt that. And but sadly, it's my own fault if that's ever an issue.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yay, ADHD. Surfaces are bad when you have ADHD.
So,
a pseudo quote of the day in this, Anya wonders if they have to go out into the woods to look. And she just, the woods? Are we going back into the woods? I hate the woods. All those woodsy trees.
Mm-hmm.
I just like that.
Yep, a little bit of Buffy speak.
Yep.
There's got to be a, somebody's got to put a formula together of Buffy speak. But this noun, it's so nouny.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's basically the formula right there. So we're in the woods. Xander's cheese is getting automatically grated. Must be nice. They realize they're lost because Xander has been following a blimp.
Hold on. His cheese is automatically getting grated?
Yeah, because the scene starts, you're laughing, but you don't know what I'm talking about? Come on, are we on the same podcast or not?
I like the phrasing. It's funny phrasing.
Well, yes. Well, his very first line is, man, this really grates my cheese.
Oh, I missed that.
Because turns out he's been following a blimp that he thought was the North Star this whole time.
Wouldn't that be a good thing, though?
I don't know.
Because
never been stuck in any tight navigational situations.
Well, no, I mean like having your cheese grated.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, that sounds like a great thing to me.
Good fucking deal.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like you don't have to grate it yourself?
Say when. Is this enough?
Exactly.
I didn't say when.
You're going to get through that block of Parmesan and go get three more.
I will tell you when. You know, I think I've told this story on the podcast before, but so one time I was at Olive Garden and she's grating the cheese and she's like, say when, and I'm just letting it go. At one point, she's the look on her face, she starts to get legitimately worried. And I'm like, nope, keep going. Okay, that's enough. And she walks away, and I take a bite, and I'm like, that's too much cheese. I didn't think you could have too much cheese. This does not seem like a thing that is a thing.
It's really hard to do. It is hard to do, but it is possible.
Yeah. I think it must be a Parmesan thing, because I can literally just eat fistfuls of like sharp cheddar. Oh, yeah. Or Colby Jack, you know.
Gouda.
Mm.
Gouda.
It's so good.
Yeah. That's why they called it that.
Yep. Must be. So, thought he was following the North Star. Willow's getting tired. Xander takes a moment to attempt to chastise her for not telling him exactly how much that spell was going to put her through, but she shuts him down. And they start to see a light coming towards them. Big dick boy Xander is going to handle it. He thinks it's a motorcycle headlight. Not sure what he thought he was going to do.
I mean...
But then
I wasn't going to say
okay,
anything.
Okay, but then it's okay because it turns out it's just a killer firefly. It's just a killer firefly that he can't handle. And you can tell he didn't have any point of reference when he was miming swatting at it,
right?
For the CG. Because it looks terrible. And I watched it a couple extra times to really try and figure out why it looks terrible. And it's like, it's not the hand movement. It's his eye contact that ruins it. He's not looking at what he's swatting at.
Right. Like, for fuck's sake, put a tennis ball on a fucking, like, pole or something and wave it in front of your actor's face. And then cut it out.
Go outside and catch a fly.
Right.
Put something on him that flies are attracted to. I don't know.
Right.
Or just... There's whatever. So Willow is now more certain than she already was. This is not a demon firefly. It is Terra.
Yeah.
And they follow her.
Which she should know.
And I got a quote of the day here. As they walk away, Xander says, "And how long have you known that your girlfriend's Tinkerbell?" Because I don't know why. That's just funny.
No, that's good.
Well, this guy wants to fight with weapons. I've got it covered from A to Z. From axe to Z other axe. I'm fairly certain I said no interruptions.
Cut to the streets. Buffy accidentally sets off a car alarm.
Specifically the suburban streets.
Yes.
Yeah. Around about Buffy's house.
She accidentally sets off a car alarm, gets threatened by a famous bit actor, Richard Wharton.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, he's been in fucking every show you can think of that has a lot of series, like Star Trek, CSI shows, any of those shows, he has played a bit in it.
Well, that's how you make a living.
Yeah.
You get yourself around till you get a big boy role.
And I think
you just never do, and that's okay too.
And he's been in a lot of movies and shit, but dude's in fucking everything and just usually one or two lines.
Neat. Yeah, and he comes out with a shotgun and he's like, "Get off my lawn." And again, we are seeing him through Buffy's foggy point of view.
I liked how they did that, though.
It definitely, if nothing else, if not meant to be taken literally, why is her vision foggy? It definitely just gives you an idea of her state of mind.
Yeah, she's very out of it.
Very disoriented. So cut to more hellions nearby, presumably fucking up a house. Not really a cut to, but kind of pan over to.
Where Dawn and Spike are kind of trying to lurk through the streets and not get caught. But that's kind of hard to do with a bunch of biker gang members all over the fucking place.
Yeah, and this is where they ride a motorcycle up onto a porch and break in through a window, and we hear that scream.
Yeah.
And we watch Spike's face as Dawn says, "It looks like they're just breaking things." And Spike longs for the good old days. He's like, "I don't know, it just looks like fun."
I loved that bit.
And I guess they're not hurting people directly, just fucking shit up. I can get behind that. That does sound fun.
It does sound a little bit fun.
Yeah, let's go pillage. Everybody go pillage.
But this is when Spike gets a brilliant idea that the only way that they're going to get any ground whatsoever is with wheels.
And he doesn't say that, but
no,
you can tell he's thinking it. Especially because the very next thing he does, he tosses Dawn a football helmet that's laying around and then stands in the middle of the street waiting for one of these assholes on a motorcycle to drive by. And he looks thoroughly badass as he kicks a fucking hellion off of his motorcycle and then steals it.
Did you know that, you know what a dragon kick is, right? The jump kick, dragon kick that like Bruce Lee did and whatnot. Did you know that that kick was originally designed to unhorse riders?
Oh, no.
That's the entire purpose of that kick, is to unhorse a rider. They're charging you down and you're on foot and you jump and fucking kick them in the chest. Could you imagine how badass you'd have to be to do that?
You'd have to jump a lot higher to kick someone off a horse, though.
Yeah.
Than a motorcycle.
Well, and I think
it works out, though.
Of course, this was in Asia, and this was back in the days when, horses were a bit smaller.
I was about to say, what are you saying? The horses are shorter just because they're Asian?
No, I'm saying horses used to be smaller.
Weird.
We did selective breeding to make these giant ass fucking horses.
Huh.
But the horses originated in Asia. And horses that originated in Asia tend to be smaller breeds.
I'll take your word for it. So, yeah, he kicks the hellion off his bike and calls to Dawn, and they ride off on the motorcycle. Cut back to the magic box.
Where Willow and Xander arrive. Yay!
Woo!
Although there is a funny bit here. They knock on the door, and Anya's, like, talking through the door. "Hey, it's already been looted."
Go down
the street. Nothing here anymore.
Go down to the appliance store. They have great toasters. But it's Xander, and both Willow and Terra and Xander and Anya, each couple has a brief little reunion where they're all relieved and happy and a little bit horny. So,
well, you know, when you're that scared, the right? body does some things.
That's a thing that I've heard that may or may not be true. Zoidberg's not hearing it, though.
No, both Anya and Xander kind of lay it out that shit's bad. Like, mm-hmm. really, real bad. And maybe we don't know what we're going to do without Buffy being here.
And yet, Willow basically brings them all back to reality and is like, yeah, Buffy's not coming back. And we're all we've got. So
we got to be the big damn heroes here, folks.
There's nobody else is going to go find Dawn. I guess we have to go find Dawn. Personally, I think they should just leave it to Spike because they left Dawn with Spike.
Right.
And, you know, not endanger themselves. But
I mean, how often have they left Dawn with Spike? They obviously would have to, at this point, trust that he's going to do what he needs to do to take care of her.
Yeah, and he's definitely stronger than any of them, and they have no point of reference on where to look. But whatever, Xander proclaims that the demons can't keep it up forever. Maybe they'll get tired and move on.
And oh look, it's that that typical twist where cut to the gang and Razor going on about, hey, say hello to your new home.
Yeah, cut to the Hellions keeping it up forever by declaring Sunnydale their new home. Razor, the lead demon bro, makes a surprisingly eloquent speech about christening their new home and getting rid of old reminders of something or other. His actual line is, a symbolic act commemorating the new order around here and ridding ourselves of any not-so-pleasant reminders of the old. All in one quick, really, really violent fell swoop.
And then they draw and quarter Buffy Bot with motorcycles.
Yeah, it's a little sad.
It's also very violent. And
it's very violent. And
that was a way that we, as humans, used to execute people.
I'm aware. Yeah, that's why we have a phrase for it, drawing and quartering. Buffybot spots real Buffy just before she gets pulled apart, and real Buffy is surprisingly distressed at seeing this.
Well, she sees this. I don't think she realizes that it's Buffybot. Because she does not understand that she is not in hell.
Yeah, there's nothing that she's seen that does not support the theory of being in hell.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're in hell, of course you're going to see yourself get drawn and quartered by a bunch of demons.
Yeah, that's a weird fucking thing to see. Wouldn't really be a big fan of that.
No, I think I would be quite upset.
Yeah.
I mean, you start off by seeing your grave, then you see a place that looks kind of familiar, like your town, but it's all on fire and burning and everyone's, you know, upset and afraid.
It's nighttime and yeah.
And yeah, and then you get to see yourself being drawn and quartered. Like, yeah, no, Buffy's in hell right now.
So she screams at that, and that draws a bit of attention to her.
Yeah.
And now the Hellions are focused pretty squarely on Buffy.
I like how their reaction says that they believe it's just another Buffy bot.
Right there. Oh, there must be multiple Buffy bots. She tries to run, ducks out of the way as one Hellion swinging a chain takes a whack at her. He hits the other biker behind her instead as she rolls out of the way. But yeah, I mean, they were too scared to come to the town when they thought that Buffy was there.
Right.
But now that they think there's no Slayer, they must just be assuming that she's another robot.
Yeah.
Cut to an alleyway where the two couples, Xander, Anya, and Willow and Tara, are marching down the alleyway. They're all together. They've got various weapons with them. I think Willow has a crossbow and Xander has an axe.
Yep.
Tara tries to gently argue that maybe the spell wasn't meant to work and there are larger forces at work, like the biker demons, as a sign that this just shouldn't have come to pass. And Willow's not convinced and, in fact, goes out of her way to misinterpret what Tara was saying as, so you're saying it was all my fault. I hate that. I hate that shit.
I do, too.
Like, nope, no red flags there.
None. Not a one.
Nope.
And meanwhile, when this conversation is happening, behind them, totally at a volume that there's no way they wouldn't overhear it, by the way.
Yeah.
Anya and Xander are talking about their engagement and Anya wanting to tell everybody. And previously when this came up, Xander was wrong. This is a time where Xander is right. This is not the time to announce your fucking engagement.
Yeah, no, not really. Yeah, I don't specifically remember the circumstances of before. I feel like I've generally been on board with Xander wanting to delay it.
Well, before it was in a meeting when they were discussing the process of doing this spell. It was fairly early on in the previous episode.
Right, yeah.
And Xander's stance there was more along the lines of like, oh, but everyone's sad right now. We can't tell them now.
Yeah, we discussed that in the other episode. I don't feel the need to rehash it.
Right. Can't see bugger on something other than that, it's one thing. I don't find a few demons over me these days. It's blood! It's what I do!
Buffy suddenly drops in front of them. They mistake her for the Buffy bot at first.
Or mainly Tara and Xander do. Willow, though, like just kind of freezes and immediately realizes it's Buffy.
Yeah, she figures it out first anyway. And then they're all like, Buffy? And she runs off and they chase after her and they find her huddled against a wall around the corner. Xander figures out that the spell resurrected her right where they left her.
Yeah, Tara points out the torn and bloody hands.
Yep.
And yeah, that's when Xander's like, oh yeah, we didn't think maybe we should dig the body up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of a good horrifying moment. Like, yeah.
When they all realize how stupid they are?
Yeah.
Or at least Xander realizes how stupid they are.
Well, Willow's like properly horrified.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's definitely upset at herself, I think.
Tara thinks that she's too traumatized to respond. Pretty much the same as shock, which somebody else said, I think she's in shock. I think it was Willow. Anya thinks that some nice engagement announcements will perk her right up. But Xander, for the grace of Keanu, stops her before she gets too far with that tacky shit plan. Because, that's like bottom of the barrel,
right?
Bad timing to bring that shit up on you. Like, wow, I knew her social skills were bad, but damn.
I think it's also just the terror that she's been experiencing all day.
Anya?
Yeah. Like,
she wants to focus on something good.
Right. I think it's affected her judgment.
Yeah, absolutely. Her already poor judgment.
But Xander's trying to connect with Buffy. It's not really going great. And then suddenly, all the Hellions are right there behind her.
Well, he does get a positive response out of her, and he's the first one to get any kind of real response out of her. He says, we brought you back. You're home now. And that gets her to perk up a little bit. It's like the first thing that she's heard that starts to go against the evidence of this being hell.
Right.
She looks up responsively. Enter Razor with a cheap one-liner. Yeah, welcome home, Slayer. Alive and kicking after all. Well, alive anyway. Oh, I get it. Alive but not kicking. Very clever.
I like the exchange here, though, because Xander turns around and says, I don't see you winning any beauty contests unless Miss My Face Fell Off pageant gets going.
That was one of my quotes of the day.
Yeah.
Love it.
But my actual quote of the day of the scene, because Razor responds with, big axe you got there. And then Xander replies with, better to cut you down to size, Grandma. I like a moment when Xander gets to have a bit of backbone. They don't really give him enough moments where he has backbone,
I suppose.
And it's nice to see that he has backbone.
I thought it was a cute moment. It is nice to see him when he has backbone. But really, I think the only thing that really made me laugh this episode was, unless the Miss My Face Fell Off pageant gets going.
That was a good line.
Fucking love that. And Tara does a quick fire spell to try and scare what's his fuck face off, and Xander calls himself a sloppy Joe. Anya tries to threaten them with a zombie slayer who may or may not thirst for brains. Willow talks the big talk. Another quote of the day. Razor says, whoa, well, I better back off or you might, what, pull a rabbit out of a hat? Anya very quickly, don't do that. Why would she do that? And it took me a minute.
And kudos to the actress. The delivery of that line was fucking perfect.
Yeah, because for a second,
she seemed really terrified.
I thought she was backing up a line and being like, whoa, Willow, don't right. get in his face. That's a bad idea. That's how I interpreted that at first. And then it took me a beat, and I was like, oh, that was a rabbit joke because she's scared of rabbits. That's fucking amazing.
Why would she do that?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and then tackily, the demons threaten them all with rape.
Yeah, very, very tackily. That is not how I thought you meant tackily, but yes, tackily. Yeah. Willow follows up with, we don't want trouble. You don't want trouble. Razor's like, course we want trouble. We're demons, silly.
Right.
But Willow didn't mean that kind of trouble. But Razor's a dipshit, and he takes a swing at Willow, knocking her ass down, and Xander charges in, gets his ass walloped as well. And then Razor announces he's just going to rape them all for a while, and they might even live through it. I imagine that's his version of good news when you're a hell demon.
Yeah.
Buffy steps up. Razor whacks her in the face. She turns back slowly with a bloody lip.
My favorite part is the difference because it's the exact same backhand that he gave Willow, and Willow went flying. But Buffy just fucking takes it. Because she can.
Oh, yeah. She's got that. She knows how to anchor herself.
Yeah.
Yeah. He swings again, but she catches his fist. She knocks his ass out with a few kicks and punches. Anya asks the wrong question. Does this mean we win? but at least she doesn't try to announce their engagement, you know?
Right.
Yeah, she's coming along. So
she's done with that for the rest of the episode, luckily.
For now. So this is the part where they fight.
How many people want to kick some ass?
I feel like they fight more. Well, no, this is pretty much the part where they fight.
Yeah,
so,
this is.
Buffy gets surrounded and pelted with baseball bats at one point, but breaks out of it, and then whacks two demons with either end of the baseball bat, and that's kind of the end of that.
It's a pretty good fight.
Everybody gets a few shots in. Willow gets to fire off her crossbow, and that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. We definitely see Xander get to use his axe on a demon's head later, but they don't show the gory parts.
Right.
Kind of annoying, really.
And then we cut to Dawn and Spike cruising down the road, and somehow they find Buffy Bot, but Dawn is like, oh, what's that? To Spike, half a block away, and they pull up, and it's this crane shot. And it's not like you can actually see what is on the ground. It just looks like debris on the ground. And it makes me wonder, how the fuck did Dawn even see Buffy Bot laying on the ground? It's like a sixth sense.
Yeah, must have been. It's almost like the director told them to hit their marks.
I know.
Yeah, so Dawn looks a little upset. And Spike reminds her it's just a machine. Dawn kneels down to close her eyes. To close Buffy Bot's eyes.
Yeah.
But instead, Buffy Bot's head turns kind of creepily quickly towards her suddenly you can hear the servos whirring. Yeah. And she keeps asking where Buffy went, specifically the other Buffy, not her.
Where did I go?
Mm-hmm.
Or the other Buffy. And, Dawn puts it all together that, oh, you mean the real Buffy?
Or, at least gets an idea in her head that could be something, even though it makes no sense. She knows Buffy's dead.
Right.
So what the hell is Dawn thinking? Because she doesn't know anything about them trying to resurrect anyone.
Right. I think she's just hopeful.
I agree. That must be exactly what Dawn's thinking. But poor Dawn. She's can't get through any grief with this fucking Buffy bot laying around. But Buffy Bot runs out of juice and goes quiet again. Dawn runs off because she's not Dawn if she's not doing something nonsensical.
Exactly.
And getting herself deeper into trouble.
And this camera pans over to Spike, who's not been paying nearly enough attention. He's looking at a part of Buffy Bot and he's like, well, this is done. No more robot for us.
He looks away for 2 seconds, and she's running off into the distance into Apocalypto Night.
You had one job, Spike.
One fucking job. Yeah, he's going on about how the robot's toast this time, and he realizes Dawn's gone, and he yells after her. Cut to the alleyway. Xander's finishing off a demon with his axe.
Yep.
Buffy finishes off a demon.
Oh, that kind of finishing off a demon.
Oh,
I see.
Oh, yeah, baby. Ew. Buffy finishes off a demon with a knife. You know, if you're into that kind of thing, I guess. This knife happens to still be being held by another demon. And then she snaps that demon's neck. Again, you know, not really into neck play. You know, neck snapping play. I'm sure there's a kink for that somewhere. I think it's called snuff films.
Okay, moving on from
that. If that's your kink, that's, you know what? We don't normally shame on Beer with Buffy here. Kink shame on Beer with Buffy. But I think this is an exception. I'm going to go ahead and shame that kink.
Yeah, snuff films, not great.
That's not okay. Unless you're finding healthy outlets and going to therapy.
Moving on.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, the fight's over and Buffy runs off.
Yeah, Xander jumps the gun and starts declaring that Buffy's back to her old self again.
Yeah.
But she goes back into reclusive Buffy mode pretty quickly and runs off.
It's pretty obvious that she was operating mostly on instinct with that
fight. She popped into a very much a necessity mode for a moment. And now she's back to trying to figure out the mind fuck of her existence. So he figures she needs some time.
Yeah.
Do you think? And great timing for Razor's eyes to pop open, and he extends his claws again. Dramatic commercial break.
Yep.
Be good.
We will. We're just going to play with matches, run with scissors, take candy from some guy. I don't know his name. I'm finished being everybody's butt monkey.
Come back from the dramatic commercial break, and Razor attacks Xander immediately, absolutely shredding a trash can lid that he tries to use as a shield, and a couple other things. He knocks him down, pushes him against a wall.
Luckily, he's saved. Xander gets tossed. Tara gets into it with Razor.
Yeah, there's some back and forth.
Yeah.
I'd like to go in order, because that's how I have my notes. So we cut back to Buffy. She's away from them, and she runs into another Hellion. She throws him on top of some trash, impaling him on a pipe, it looks like.
Yep.
And she looks up at the tower. We see the tower that she was up on, that she jumped off from when she died.
It's like, what, 3-4 months after that point?
Yeah, nobody's
torn. The city never thought, hey, that rickety thing looks dangerous.
Yeah, that thing, nobody had a permit for that. Maybe somebody did have a permit for that. I don't know. Oh, I just remembered. That's who it was that Giles pulled through the door, the exterior door. It was one of those glory toady demons.
Oh, yeah, you are correct.
I don't remember which one.
You are correct.
Yeah. So anyway, back to the alleyway. The Scoobies all pelt Razor with bats and chains. It stalls him for a moment, but he breaks out of it. Willow uses an obfuscate spell on him, putting a white glob over his face. I imagine it's a bit like the oil in Mario Kart.
Oh, the ink.
The ink, yeah. The
squid ink,
suddenly I can't see a goddamn thing. This is a fun game. I'm glad I'm playing it. Fuck, I hate that ink.
It is a fun game, though.
It is. With the
addendum that
extreme
fuck that ink.
Exception of fuck that ink. I hate that ink. So, back to Buffy. Dawn finds the impaled demon and runs toward the tower because only Buffy could have impaled a demon, which is kind of true.
Yeah.
Buffy stares up at the tower. Back to the alleyway. A lot of back and forth.
Yeah.
Anya beats Razor with a pipe. He slaps Anya down. He breaks free of the obfuscate glob, elbows Xander in the face. Razor gets a hold of Terra, and Willow casts a fragile yeah. spell.
Makes his claws fragile.
Yeah, which it breaks his claws. And he drops Terra, goes for Willow now, gets her in a nice chokehold, a classic, holding her up by her entire body weight by the neck.
And then Terra puts an axe into his back.
Yeah, while he's spouting off like a dick, Terra gets her first real kill.
Man, he didn't read the book. You don't monologue mid-fight. That's how you fucking die.
Right, yeah, especially while there's like three other people that you're fighting right yeah. behind you. With weapons.
But Xander's like, oh, nice axing. And she's like, oh, yeah, my first. And it is. It's first time she killed a demon with an axe.
First time for everything.
Yep.
She was an axe virgin. Or a murder virgin. I don't know. None of this is appropriate. It's very inappropriate. I'm highly inappropriate. So
they're demons, so it's not murder.
Yeah, exactly. And they all fuck off to find Buffy. Cut back to the tower.
Where Buffy does some reminiscing about dying.
Just a little bit. She's flashing back. She's all the way up at the top of the goddamn tower, flashing back about the events of her death. Dawn shows up behind her for realsies, right after a flashback of Dawn showing up behind her. And she's completely baffled and crying about Buffy being back. I think this is the first time she really sees her.
Yeah.
And the tower shows clear signs of imminent collapse.
And as Dawn puts it, it was built by crazy people.
You know, that's that's a pretty solid reasoning for it being not particularly structurally sound.
Yeah. And so this is when Buffy actually asks Dawn if it's hell, if she's in hell.
Yep.
And I get the feeling, and I want to say this is really good on the part of the writers for this episode, because nobody says it, but I get the feeling that what's going on in Buffy's head in this moment is she's thinking she's in hell, and she's thinking that if she jumps from the tower, she gets to leave hell and go back to heaven where she was.
Yeah, well, maybe. I'm wondering if she's wondering that, is this hell and am I doomed to repeat a bastardized version of my life
right.
Indefinitely, why shouldn't I just jump? I don't know. I mean, if it is hell, jumping and killing yourself, it isn't going to end it. Then you just, it'd be like Groundhog Day. Then
yeah,
you
just
restarts. You start over. crawl out of your grave again. That's just how you start every day.
Fuck. That would be so fucking awful.
That would be pretty awful. Oof.
You'd probably get good at it, though.
Well, I don't need to sit here and think about literal hell. let's move on from that.
Yeah.
So Dawn tries to coax Buffy back to her and off of the ledge. She mumbles on about how clear things were. Dawn goes on about how hard it's been without her. She needs her to live. And then the tower just starts to crumble.
Yeah, it starts coming down. Finally, Buffy like snaps out of it.
And again, with the survival instinct of hers.
Yeah.
She goes into oh fuck mode. She grabs Dawn and grabs a rope and they both fall while she's hanging onto the rope and
they only get about halfway down.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they really make it far enough down by the time the rope stops. And then they just kind of fall, but then they don't seem to fall all that hard when they hit the ground.
They do land on some cardboard, but I don't think that would really help much.
No, not at all.
And then they immediately have to get up and run, though, because the entire fucking top of the tower crashes down where they were.
And they get out of the way just in time.
It's a practical stunt, too, by the way.
Hmm.
Like, those, there were actually stunt doubles that were on the ground as they dropped this big, giant thing of debris
fucking
next to them.
That's fucking terrifying.
Yeah. I had to rewatch it because I'm like, that looked too real.
They would have had to have blue screened that.
That's, no, I'm positive that it was practical.
Did you look it up?
I did not see anything that stunt.
It still counts as practical if the crashing effect was really done, well, but they would never put actors under it.
They weren't under it. So it crashed down behind where they were on the ground. So when they got up and then they jumped back, they were even further clear of it. But where they were on the ground, they were already clear of where the debris landed. I'm just saying it was a big giant thing of debris that they actually did drop.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty positive there were stunt doubles standing in front of it.
And I'm just saying, when blue screen is done right, you can't tell that it's blue screen.
Yeah, fair.
And they could have easily done two separate shots so yeah. that they're not putting anywhere near that danger. But I'd be curious to look that up and see if there's any info on exactly how that was done.
Right.
Also, the entirety of the tower crashing, I thought, was really well done.
It really was.
Because it would be really hard to get that effect with a miniature. Mm-hmm. Maybe they did like a half scale or third or a quarter scale so that it's big enough to get that effect of
right.
Gravity changes based on the mass.
Yeah.
I mean, gravity doesn't change based on the mass, but the way it falls changes based on the mass. So even a perfectly two scale little figurine, it's just going to look like toothpicks falling.
Right. Some of that shit's hard to do, but it can be done, and it is impressive when they do it right.
Yeah, they pulled it off, and I'm really wondering if any of that was CG or if it was just a superimposed practical effect again.
My guess is that it was probably around a third scale or some shit like that.
Yeah, it looked practical because it looked really good. But Dawn takes another moment to look at Buffy's face now that they're out of danger and realizes that she's really back. She hugs her and cries. Buffy looks kind of despondent, like you do.
Yeah.
Gerarg.
Is this for me? I must be ready. I need my strength.
Give me more!
Nights, I shall walk the earth.
Hold on. You've got something here.
How'd you feel about the episode?
Well, I think it was the logical conclusion to the first half of the episode. I think all said and done, it was a well-written, dramatic way to bring her back.
Yeah.
And I love that the stakes are so high.
Yeah.
They don't take it lightly, bringing Buffy back from the dead, metaphorically or literally in any sense. And I got so ruined on characters dying and then coming back from watching Supernatural, where they can't hold their wad for 5 seconds.
Right.
Without bringing a character back from the dead.
Yeah, in this, when they bring Buffy back, it is truly upsetting.
Yeah.
Profoundly so.
Yeah, seriously. When they brought Dean back the first time, it was like a year later. He was stuck in a hell dimension or something. And Sam's like, Dean, you're back.
Yeah, I'm back.
Well, okay. Well, I mean, you know, I kind of set up a whole life over here. So, you know, welcome back. But all right, see you later.
Right, and like we're about to see Buffy go through many, many episodes of essentially PTSD.
Yeah.
And that is far more realistic. Just, yeah, I was dead. It's fine now.
Yeah. Supernatural, it's a fun show. There's nothing about it that I would call realistic.
Yeah, Buffy's much more realistic about magically bringing people back from the dead.
I dare say so. That's exactly what I would say.
No, I thought the episode was pretty good, though.
You know what I mean when I say realistic, though? I mean immersive.
Yeah.
And like the character relationships and reactions seem much more plausible.
Yeah.
Just replace realistic with plausible.
Verisimilitude.
Sure.
Verisimilitude, meaning it has a foundation of realism.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that.
But no, I think it was a great episode, actually. Like, it wasn't particularly funny, but it was really well done. Like, it flowed well. There were no points in the episode where I was like, oh, get on with it.
Yeah, they know when to
take shit seriously with this show and when to be goofy.
Yeah.
And they've got great pacing. So, yes, well done. Good show.
Good show. Exactly. That's why we're reviewing.
Exactly. Do you got a quote of the day, Rex?
I think I want to go with Anya's line of the response to the pulling the rabbit out of the hat. Don't do that. Why would she do that? It was so genuine in delivery.
Yep. I completely approve of that choice for multiple reasons, for your reasons, and because that means that you didn't take my quote of the day, which was Xander's line. I don't see you winning too many beauty contests unless the Miss My Face Fell Off pageant gets going. Because...
It's a really good descriptor of the way these demons look.
Yeah, I couldn't stop thinking about how their faces look after he said that.
Yeah, and like their faces are kind of strapped on.
A little bit, yeah. It's more like they're just stretched back, but also it made me think about, like, maybe. Because, I mean, you really can't make an actor's face, not without heavy CG. You can't make it look like they don't have skin on their face.
Yeah.
They had to use practical makeup.
Really good practical makeup for all of these, the Hellions. Like, some of the best, honestly, I think.
Pretty good. Pretty good. But, yeah, they didn't have, you know, Harvey Dent in the Dark Knight style CG capabilities.
Exactly.
And even that still looked CG.
Yeah. It didn't. That effect does not hold up.
Even at the time, I was like, yeah, that's kind of CG-ish.
Yeah.
It gets the point across, but I wouldn't. That would just get infected so fast. Don't like it.
Yeah.
Anyway. How does he eat? Come on.
Well, there is a moment in that when he takes a drink of alcohol and it like just leaks out of the side of his face.
Okay. Well.
And he even like wipes it.
At least they covered that.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Anyway, this has been another episode of Beer with Buffy. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do that in a number of ways. Join our Facebook group and interact with us there. Or you can email us, beerwithbuffy@gmail.com. You can give us a call or send us a text to our voicemail line,
269-743-0783.
If you'd like to support us, there's a number of ways you could do it. You could buy some of our merch, beerwithbuffy.com/shop, or you could directly support us financially if you want to and become one of our executive producers, or as Josh likes to call them, our executive doodle-doos.
Fuck-a-doodle-doo!
That would be at patreon.com/beerwithbuffy. The number one way, though, that you could support us, literally the number one way that anything can help us with this podcast is by giving us an iTunes review. Just go to our iTunes page and put in that review. Remember, if you write us a review and send us a screenshot of that, we will send you a Buffy sticker.
Yeah, do it. But don't buy their stuff, Apple.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not an Apple ad.
No, just not an Apple ad.
Review us on their platform. That's it. And then don't ever touch a Macintosh product ever again.
Yeah, fuck that.
Look away. Run away.
One of the work phones we have to use at my work is an iPhone. I hate that fucking thing.
Yeah, I believe it.
And as always, thank you to JJ Treadway for opening and closing music. This has been Beer with Buffy. I'm Rex.
I'm Josh.
Have a good night.
Reeves be with you.
Count of speed, Josh.
Whoa. You are the Slayer. Lives depend upon you. I make allowances for your years, but I expect a certain amount of responsibility, and instead of which you enslave yourself to this cult.
You don't like the color?
You have a sacred birthright. You were chosen to destroy vampires, not to... pom-poms at people.
Why can't you people just leave me alone?
You are the Slayer.
Go ahead. Prepare me.
I'm a watcher. I haven't the skill.
Oh, come on.
By appealing to your common sense. Common sense. Common sense. What? Dear Bruce, incubi. Succubi. Everything you've ever dreaded was under your bed, but told yourself couldn't be by the light of day.
One gal in all the world.
Common sense.
One gal in all the world.
Common sense.
It was a bit British, wasn't it?
Whee!
Wait, what have we done? Why are we watching this?